Come then to a new section of Numbers for us, where in chapters 28 and 29 we have a series of regular offerings that would be made to God, that God had appointed for Israel to make to him. And we'll spend a little time looking at these two chapters tonight, looking at the first 15 verses. In total, in these chapters, there are 8 different and regular offerings that God had appointed for Israel. And I would like for us to look at these and to hopefully learn more about them, but also to think of what they mean in terms of the wider scripture and what the Bible says in the whole. And then also to think, how may these matters apply for us today? What may we benefit from paying attention to how God taught Israel to live? Well, if we look at any of these offerings we've read of this evening, from verse 1 to 15, there are 3 regular offerings described here, all relating to the regular calendar of the year. So we have mention of daily offerings, and then we have weekly offerings that were made on the Sabbath, every Sabbath, in addition to the daily offerings. And then we're taught of monthly offerings. So we have daily, weekly, and monthly offerings. The next offerings are arranged around the different festivals and arranged around, therefore, the different works, the saving works that God has done. These 3 offerings here in the beginning of chapter 8 are more arranged around God's created order in the beginning. When God created, he created days and nights, weeks and months. And here in our passage we're reading of offerings to God that mark the day, the week, a new day, a new week, and a new month. The types of offerings that are described here, for there are different types of offerings. These might be described as consecratory offerings. Offerings that are made to God, not particularly with a design of addressing something in mankind that needs to be addressed. There were other offerings that were designed for that purpose, what are described as the expiatory offerings, that are those sin offerings. We are taught of one sin offering in these verses that was spoken of with the monthly offering. There was an expiatory offering, a sin offering, an offering to God in respect of having sinned against him. There were also guilt offerings too, as well, to address these matters. But these offerings, the main object of these offerings, are offerings having been consecrated to God, and they're offerings which are designed simply to honour him, that this is God, and he is worthy of praise and glory and gifts. And here are offerings that are made to God daily, weekly, and monthly. So let's look first of all at the daily offerings. The daily offerings, which included food offerings and drink offerings. Food offerings and drink offerings. And so we read of the lambs that were offered to God as a regular offering. Also, there in verse 5, a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering. And these comprised a regular burnt offering, and a burnt offering, again, being distinct from the sin offering or the guilt offering. A burnt offering, one which involves what God has made and supplied and is returned to him as an offering. Now, if we look at verse 6, we see that we're told here that, yes, God is speaking of establishing a daily offering, but this is something that's already been ordained. It was ordained at Mount Sinai. So it says there, it's a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. We read of when this was established then, when God had ordained it, back in Exodus chapter 29. And there I might read from verse 38 to 46. Now this is Exodus 29, verse 38 to 46. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: two lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the first lamb, a tenth measure of fine flour mingled with a fourth of hin of beaten oil, and a fourth of a hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer with it a grain offering and its drink offering, as in the morning, for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet with you to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So you can see here that with these offerings, as the people are drawing near to God, so God is drawing near to them. And that's a pattern that's established for us in Scripture, to come to him, to draw near to him, and you will find he draws near to you. Also, he is pleased to honour that which is done in honour of him. So we read then of this regular burnt offering that was offered morning and evening. Also mentions a drink offering, and it's, we have spoken about this in the past, something that Paul speaks about in reference to himself in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He speaks of the sacrificial offering of the faith of Christian believers, and speaks about himself being poured out as a drink offering in response and with the offerings of and the sacrifices of Christian believers, pouring himself out as a drink offering. And we've said about that, that Paul, in saying that, he's not speaking of that he's doing something which is in addition to Christ, or needful along with what Christ has done. No, it's what he's speaking of is what we've described here, a consecratory offering, an offering to God. This is the fitting way to respond to God is to pour oneself out for Him. It's not to gain something that God does not already provide. It's not to turn God's hand. It's simply because God is God. And in view of the benevolence and kindness and mercy of the Father to us, that we have that example of responding then wholeheartedly. And Paul speaks there for pouring himself out like a drink offering in response to his Father, and sets that example to us. St. John Chrysostom speaks about the matter of what is a pleasing aroma to God. And he speaks about that here, of the regular burnt offering in verse 6, which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a pleasing aroma. And he speaks about, because this becomes also a theme in the scriptures about what is done is pleasing to him. And Chrysostom speaks of that what is pleasing to God is the sincerity of the heart in response to him. And that's not something which is visible. It may be tangible, but it's not the what is inside is not visible, but it is visible to God. And the pleasing aroma, that what we do in response to God would be in sincerity and in love. And that's what God is most interested in, is the heart's response. It's not the volume of what can be given to him, because he already has it all. He's not in need. He's not in lack of anything. The silver and gold is his. What is the great matter is not the amount or the material, but the sincerity and the love of God. And that might produce much, it might produce little, depending on what means a person has. Remember the story of Jesus at the temple, where he saw the widow who had barely anything, and she put what she did have in the offering, and nobody noticed except Jesus, because God notices. And God spoke of how that woman was honoured and to be honoured because of what she had done, from the sincerity and love from her heart. So that's what to aim for then in response to God, is sincerity and love to him in all that you do for him from the heart. Let's now look at the Sabbath offerings. Here there's an additional offering to the food and drink offerings on the seventh day of the week, as it was then, as the Sabbath was then, the seventh day of the week. Now, notice that this offering is not instead of the daily offering, but in addition to the daily offering. The daily offering is every day, and then the Sabbath offering once a week on the seventh day of the week, marking this special day, marking this, as it was then, the close of the week. Think of how in Genesis chapter 1, there when we're taught of God's creation, and he made all that he made, and then he ceased from making what he had made, and he rested from those creating works, and hallowed this special day, the Sabbath, which is captured for us then in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, to remember the Sabbath day and to make it holy. You think of how that, if we have the daily offerings and then we have the Sabbath, it's once every 7 days, and it's every 7 days. And it's been every seventh day ever since the beginning. It's never got out of that steady repetition, week after week, the Sabbath day. Now, in Exodus chapter 31, there God speaks to Moses and Israel of how really the Sabbath day is a very special day to him. And in so much that this one commandment, the fourth commandment that he gave, he said to Israel was to be the sign of his covenant with them. The sign of his covenant with them. The sign of his meeting, his promise, his will to save his people. That there next to 31, it speaks of the way that God consecrated that day and desired for his people to consecrate it also. And here is one way of doing that was with these additional offerings, the offerings that are additional to the daily offerings. And you notice here that while with the daily offering, there is two 1-year-old male lambs given without blemish, one in the morning and one in the evening, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering. Here on the Sabbath offering, there was 2 1-year-old male lambs and then 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. So there was a double amount given then in total on the Sabbath day, a double offering to God. So we keep that in mind then. There's the daily offerings, the Sabbath offerings, and on the Sabbath, the offering was doubled to God. Now, along with the daily offerings and Sabbath offerings, those weekly offerings, there was the monthly offerings. At the beginning of your months, verse 11, you shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord. Then in verse 14, this is the burnt offering of each month throughout the months of the year. So every single month would begin in this way, with the burnt offerings, these monthly offerings, again in addition to the daily offerings. Keeping abreast of the Sabbath offerings, you had, in addition, the monthly offerings. And you see that this is a larger offering again. 2 bulls, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, 1-year-old, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour for each bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each lamb, and drink offerings to accompany each animal. Then a special burnt offering is given for each month. A sin offering is given in addition to the regular burnt offering, a sin offering of a goat. So then you have again an increase here at the month, isn't it? I mean, just to think of, if you think of almost putting ourselves there and imagining what's taking place, you have these regular offerings, day after day, morning, evening, morning, evening. Then on the Sabbath, you have double the offering. And then at the beginning of the month, every month, you have a larger offering that is being made to God, consecrated and consecration offerings to God. So then we begin to think of how this is working. Regular offerings, daily, weekly, on the Sabbath, and monthly. Now, all these offerings and all the offerings of chapter 28 and 29 are ultimately fulfilled in Christ. They all point to Christ. We might think about how he is the Lord of creation and he is the Lord of salvation. So we have these offerings that are in respect of creation, the days, the weeks, the months, and offerings made to God and fulfilled in Christ, that the days, the weeks, and months, the advance of time in itself points to Christ. And then the other offerings that we'll look at, we hope, in coming weeks. And they are fulfilled in Christ, yet they're also recorded for us to, yes, to think of how they are fulfilled in Christ. And also in that to think of how it was that Israel lived, how it was that our forefathers lived in response to God, and how they were called to live. See how here they are called to live, remembering God and responding to Him and offering to Him. And see how regular this is. It's daily, weekly, and monthly. Daily, weekly, and monthly. It's twice a day, morning and evening. It's weekly with the Sabbath. It's monthly as well with these offerings. Now think of how that has been picked up on and then replicated in some way in the church. I mean, what we're saying here is that there's this great advantage to us as Christians in having these kinds of regular activities in response to God, daily, weekly, and monthly, that the world does not have and does not follow. And think about how God in the wilderness is leading this people daily, weekly, monthly. But think, what kind of situation is the world in, where it has come away from daily, weekly, monthly responding to God, and life has become chaotic, that many are living without any regular pattern at all in their lives? You think of how actually we are so helped in life by having regular patterns. And that is, it seems to me, part of also why it is the days, we speak about the days passing and the weeks passing and the months passing, and it's with God's hand upon us in working these regular motions in response to Him in life. So think for example, of what Spurgeon was doing with his daily readings, morning and evening. It is, in a way, to take from the template of the Old Testament and to apply it to the church today, consecrating yourself to God daily, morning and evening, weekly with the Sabbath, the meeting of the church. We meet together weekly on the Sabbath on this special occasion. It's every week. And it's not one week it's Monday and the next week it's Thursday and the next week it's Tuesday. It's Sabbath, Sunday, 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 Sunday. There's a steady beat that has worked into our lives that enables us to live well. Again, I say to you that many are living without any regularity or beat in their lives and suffering the consequences of that, let alone the matter of the fundamental matter of relationship with God. Monthly, think of how the church also can, in their ways in which we also do things, and we maybe do it without, you know, realizing it or thinking of it as such, as we're We're trying to replicate what's happening here in Numbers 28 in a way that's fitting with, you know, applying to the church. But think of, there are things that we do also in church here that are monthly. Monthly lunches. Think of the lunch club, for example. Monthly collections. Mission offerings, which are they're once a month. Here's a work which we believe is worthy of raising funds for. Monthly collections, monthly praise evenings. And we think of, you know, what are these for? Is it to obtain something from God that we don't have? It's no more than these offerings were. These are consecration offerings. And it's a good way, I think, to think about what it is that we do daily in response to God, weekly, monthly. Yes, there is the aspect of confession, which is drawn in every day and on Sabbath days as well. We'll mention it too in after church praise. There's this matter of why are we doing it? It's simply to honour God. And our desire in it is to honour God, whatever else. And God is leading his people to the promised land. We take it to the New Testament. He's doing something similar, yet even greater, for us also, to lead us to Christ. So then, in consecration to God and honouring God, the church replicates these motions on days, weeks and months in belief that God will honour what is done in honour of him. For he is the Lord, Lord of the church and Lord of salvation and Lord of the days, the weeks and the months. Let's turn to him in prayer then.